The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Ayin Gimel. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'aslahat Am Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael U'befrat Hayalei Yisrael, that Be'ezrat Hashem we should have success in our from our enemies, and we should have Shalom Ba'ares V'Yisrael Yishkon Nabetach U'Bad Yisrael Goel. Amen V'Amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin Bet Amud Bet. We are 5 lines from the bottom, starting from the first word on the line. Comes the Gemara and says, Ma'ase Rokem. When the Torah is talking about the embroidered work that was done, let's say, on the curtains in the Mishkan, so the Torah calls them Ma'ase Rokem, which literally means it was work done by embroidery. But the Torah also uses a lashon ma'aseh choshev, which literally means the work of a designer. So the Gemara now is going to try to explain what the difference between ma'aseh rokem and ma'aseh choshev. So the Gemara says, Amar bi el-azar shirokmin b'makom shechoshvim, which means what they would do is they would make an outline, a design of, let's say, the image that they wanted to put on the curtains, and then when the embroiderers would come, they would embroider over the image. So if we had Maaseh Choshev, that's the designer that would design the image, and then after they designed the image, they would embroider over. Now these images were the Kiruvim, which was on the covering of the Mishkan, which was actually 10 panels long, like the Torah tells us. It was the lowest covering of the Mishkan, and it had on it the image of Kirubim. Comes the Gemara and continues, Tana Meshemed Rabbi Nehemya Rokem Maaseh Mahat. When it says Rokem, so that was done by needlepoint. Lefichach Parsuf Ehad. The needlepoint goes through the garment, and therefore it's one image. It's just, it's different sides of the image. You have a mirror image on the other side. For example, you have one kiruv on one side. If you look at on the other side, you'll see the same kiruv, just the mirror image of it. And the Gemara then says, Choshev, when it says Choshev, Maaseh Oreg, that would be embroidery work, which is referenced to the Fichach Shnei Parzufot, which Rashi explains is that on certain of the curtains of the Mishkan, when it says Maaseh Choshev, they would put, like, Rashi compares it to a silk belt that has on it cloths on both sides of the belt. So they would embroider on one side one image, and on the other side another image. So therefore it's considered Maaseh Choshev, which means two different images on two different sides. When it says Maaseh Rokem, that's needlework. That goes through the garment itself. It's one image, just you have a mirror image on the other side. And Maaseh Choshev, the Gemara is saying, it's actually two different images, because it has like a silk across both sides, and they would embroider on it. We can read that in Nashi. That she would begin starting from Shirokmim Bimkom Shechoshvim. It's all the way up on the left side. B'tchilam mitaken atzura al abeged al yedei tzeva. First they would color the garment with a dye. Ve'arkach rokma b'mahat. And then they would needlepoint over the image. Choshev ma'aseh oreg sheyesh la lidi'ah shtei kirot. There were two sides or two walls on the yiri'ah, on the panel. Ushtet surot al shtei kiroteha. and the two images on the two sides en domot zulazu. They were not similar. Pa'amim shemisad ze ari, umisad ze neshed. For example, you had on one side a lion, the other side an eagle. Kemo lahagurot shel meshi, like the silk belt that she's referring to. Vayinu bet parzufim. That would refer to the double images that we're talking about. Abal rokem, but when we talk about the needle pointing, ketsurato mikan, kan surato mikan, which is the same image on both sides. Comes the Gemara and continues. Be'elu nishalim be'urim ve'tumim. We said that when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the eight garments, then he is able to receive questions that are answered by the Urim ve'tumim. The Urim ve'tumim again was the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol that had the 12 stones. Above them they had the names of the tribes and some other names that the Gemara will tell us. And somehow, like the Gemara will explain, it used to answer different questions that were asked by it. Ki atar Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amari said, Begadim shekohen gadol meshamesh bahen, the clothes that the Kohen Gadol wears, meaning the eight garments, Mashuach milchama meshamesh bahen. There's another type of Kohen Gadol, he's called the Kohen Mashuach milchama. He's actually the Kohen that prepares the nation and takes them out to war. The Torah discusses that there's a certain, we'll call it a speech or a talk, that only this Kohen must have with the army before they go out to war. He is anointed. He's called the Kohen Mashuach Milchaman. The Rabdimi is teaching us that he also gets to wear the eight garments. So comes Gemara Shine Emar, Ubigdei HaKodesh Asher LeAharon, and the garments, Bigdei HaKodesh, the holy vestments that will go to Aharon, Yiyu LeBanav Aharav, will also be worn by his sons, Aharav. Now the word Aharav in this pasuk is extra. You could just say, Yiyu Lebanav. What is it? Aharav. So the Gemara says, Lemi Sheba Bigdula Aharav. The man that is second in greatness after the Kohen. Which is after the Kohen Gadol, the official one of the Beit HaMikdash, the next one is the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. He's the second one, so to speak, in Gidula. So when the Pasuk says, Aharav, means not only does Aharon wear the Bigdei Keonah, the eight, but also the one that's Aharav, the one that's next in line for greatness, we'll call it, he also wears the Begadim, that would be the eight Begadim. Let's read Rashi, Mashuach Melchama, Kohen Shemashku LeMelchama. Okay? The Kohen that they anointed him for war, LeDaber Devre Ma'archea Melchama, in order to speak to the ranks of the war, Shneemar V'nigash HaKohen V'diber El'am. Meshamesh ben imbal la'avod bebet ha-mikdash. I mean, if he comes to serve in the Beit HaMikdash, this Kohen Mashuach Melchama, Lovesh het begadim, he wears the eight garments. Yeyu lebanav acharav, hay acharav klai yitirahu. The word acharav is extra. Lemidrash ba kol gedulot noagot bezaro acharav. All the gedula of the Kohen, all the gedula that applies to the zer of Aaron, umashuach milchama gedulai. This is the Mashuach Melchama, he has Gedulah, he has greatness, and therefore all the laws of Keunah apply to him as well. Comes the Gemara and continues, Mativ Rab Adab Rab Adab Amri La Kedi. Some say it was Kedi, some say Kedi is the name of a rabbi. Yachol Yeh Beno Shel Mashuach Melchama Meshamesh Tachtav Kederek Shebeno Shel Kohen Gadol Meshamesh Tachtav. Do we say that the Kohen Mashuach Melchama's children or sons inherit his position if they're worthy, just like the sons of the Kohen Gadol inherit their father's position if they're worthy, which means is the position bequeathed from father to son by the Kohen Mashuach Melchama? So the Gemara says, Tamud Lomar, Shivat Yamim Yilbasham HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav Asher Yavo El Ohel Moed. So we have a pasuk. It says that for 7 days the Kohen will wear the garments. Which Kohen will wear the garments? The Kohen that goes into Ohel Moed. Mi Shera'ui Lavo El Ohel Moed. The one that's ra'ui to walk into Ohel Moed, which seems from this Gemara that only the Kohen that's ra'ui to walk into the Kodesh Kodashim, he gets to wear the eight garments. Yilbasham, he wears them. Mashik and the Baraita's Matra that the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, since he doesn't have access into the Kodesh Kodashim, so he doesn't qualify to wear the eight garments. Which the Pasuk is hinging the eight garments on ability to access the Kodesh Kodashim. So Rashi says, top line, Tamud Omar, Asheri Yavoy Loil Mo'ed, Mishra Uy Lavoy Loil Mo'ed, that Aleph would be Lesharet Bakodesh, to serve in the Kodesh, Biyom Kippurim. Alav Ani Omer, on that coin I say, Lecha Tachtav Mibanav, Shebeno Yeyeh Tachtav, that his son will inherit the position. Yatsa Zeh She'eno Ra'uy. So you see over here clearly what? That a Kohen Mashuach Milchama, since he does not walk into the Kodesh Kodashim, so he does not inherit his job to his children. Okay? Again, because the Pasuk says, Shiva'at Yamim Yilbashem Kohen Tachtav Mibanav. And it will be inherited subsequently to his children. So the Gemara says, Ve'in Ita, and now the Gemara goes back. But if you're going to tell me that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama indeed wears eight garments, he's Ra'uy. Why isn't he able to walk into the Kodesh Kodashim? Which means, what should stop him from walking into the Kodesh Kodashim? If he's wearing the eight garments, the Gaura, he is Ra'uy. She says, second line, תכתיב ביום הכיפורים וכיפר הכהן אשר נמשך אותו ואשר ימלא את ידו. Now what does מילא את ידו mean? וכל מילוי ידיים על ידי הבגדים הוא. תכתיבו בגדי כקודש אשר לארום. Which means so long as he has eight בגדים, he goes to the קודש קודשים. So comes the Gemara and says, אמר אמר יצחק, אחי כאמר, כל שעיקר משיחתו לאוהל מועד. Who bequeaths the position to his son? The Kohen, that's main anointment, was for entry in the Kodesh Kodashim. Yatsa ze shikar mishihato lemilchama. Masheken the Kohen mashua milchama. True, he might be allowed to walk into the Kodesh Kodashim, but his main inauguration was for what? For milchama. And therefore, since the main inauguration was for milchama, he does not qualify for bequeathing the job to his son. Metive, the Gemara asks a question. Mashuach milchama, regarding the Mashuach milchama, eno mishamesh lo be'arba'a kekohen idyot. He doesn't wear four garments like a kohen idyot. Lo bishmona kekohen gadol. Nor does he wear eight garments like a kohen gadol. So you see over here, he doesn't wear eight. He only wears somewhere between four and eight. He doesn't wear four like a kohen idyot, nor eight like a kohen gadol. Amar le Abaye, ela zar mashvit le. What do you mean? You made him like a non-kohen now. Well, if he's not wearing four or eight, so what are you treating him like? A Yisrael? Meaning what? He has no kedusha? Ela ke kohen gadol mishum eba. Which means, really, he's a kohen gadol, this guy, the Meshuach Milchama. And really, from the Torah, he should wear eight garments. The only reason why we don't let him wear eight garments is because of Eva, Machloket. We're worried that there might be jealousy. She can have now two kohanim wearing eight garments, it might cause a rift between the kohanim. So really, in that Torah, he wears eight. Ela wa, hakarim came along with shum Eva? No. Ke kohen idiot. Now you can't put the clothes of the Kohen Idyot on him, Mishum Ma'alim Bakodesh Velo Moridim. Because we have a rule. Once already he's Ra'u for eight garments, so you can't downgrade him to wear four garments. So bottom line, you see over here, that what? You see he doesn't wear eight garments. So you're telling me before, when the Dimi came, you told me the Kohen Mashua Melchama, he wears eight Begadim. Now we're seeing over here that no, he doesn't wear not four, not eight, because bottom line, he's not Ra'uy, not for the Kohen Gadol's job in the sense because there'll be Eva, and not for the Kohen Gadol because of the issue of Bari Bakodesh. So, Amar le Rava Dabara Ha'aba de Rava, Ve'hai Tana Delet le Eva. There's another Tana that doesn't hold of the Eva issue, which means he holds that we're not worried about the Kohen getting jealous of his ram. Velo kami mishmish. And still he holds that the Kohen Mashua doesn't wear eight garments. So bottom line, everybody in these opinions holds he doesn't wear eight garments. One opinion holds is because of Eva. Now you're going to see a second opinion that holds he doesn't wear eight garments, but Eva is not the issue. Why? The Tanya, because we have a Braita. This is a long Braita. The Braita says, Devarim sheben kohen gadol lekohen edyot. The following items are differences between a regular kohen gadol and a kohen hedyot. And here are the following differences. We're going to go with the Gaon Mevilna's Gersa over here, and just read it. Par haba al kol ha-mitzvot. That's the first difference, which means if the kohen makes a mistake on something that is punishable, if you did it b'shogeg hatat, and if you did it b'mezid karet. So the law is, a kohen gadol has to bring a par. He has to bring a bull. However, a kohen idiot, if he's in the same position that made a mistake, he brings either a keves or a sa'ir. That means a sheep or a goat. So that's the first difference. Kohen gadol's korban, the par for a mistake that was done, or a kohen idiot. Next difference, upar Yom Kippurim. Of course, that's the part the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur as atonement. Only the Kohen Gadol brings it, but not the Kohen Edyot. V'asinita Efah. Asinita Efah, as we learned, the Kohen Gadol every day has to bring a special, personal korban called Asinita Efah. That's specific for the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Edyot. That's a flower offering. Lo Poreya, which means he is not allowed to grow his hair in the case that there is Avelut. The Kohen Gadol must shave his hair, take a haircut from time to time. Lo porem, nor does he rip his garments. Aval poremu milemata. However, if somebody dies in the Kohen Gadol's immediate family, he does rip his personal garments, lemata, meaning on the bottom, at the hem of the garment, he does tear them. Va'idiot milemata. But the Kohen Idiot, he rips his garments like a regular person, meaning on top. Next difference, ve'en mitame lekerubav, which we know, the Kohen Gadol cannot contaminate himself even for the seven close relatives. Umetsuve ala betula, he must marry a virgin, the Kohen Gadol. Umuzar ala almana, he's not allowed to marry a widow. Umazir et arotzeach, and when the Kohen Gadol dies, all the murderers that are in the Eid Miklat are set free. Umakriv onen, he can bring a sacrifice. Even when he's an onen, that means one of his relatives died before the burial, the Kohen Gadol still can bring sacrifices. Ve'enu ochel. However, he does not eat from the sacrifices when he's onen. Ve'enu cholek. He does not either divvy up when he's an onen to eat it later. The halakha says you can eat from a korban if at the time of the divvying it up you aren't ra'ui. And since he's an onen, he's not ra'ui to eat, so he's not ra'ui for the division to eat it later on. Venotel Hailek Barosh, and he also gets the first rights to at the pieces of the Qurban. So when they're divvying up the Qurban, as we said in the earlier Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol has the first rights for division, Umakriv Hailek Barosh, and he also has rights to bring whatever sacrifice he wants. Which is no matter what Kohen is serving on that day, always the Kohen Gadol has rights to do the Avodah first. Umshamesh Bishmona Kedim, okay, he also wears 8 garments. Upatur al tumat mikdash vekadashav. An interesting halakha that if the Kohen Gadol goes into the Beit Mikdash Tameh, he is patur from karet. Of course, it's asur, but the karet does not apply to a Kohen Gadol. Vechol avodot yom kippurim elam kesherot elabo. All the surfaces of Yom Kippur are only kosher by the Kohen Gadol. Vechulan noagot bimruba begadim. Now, all of these services, all these services of the Kohanim, the Noheget as well, these laws that we just said, Bimruba Begadim. Mruba Begadim is a Kohen Gadol that was not anointed with the oil. You have to remember, after the first Beit HaMikdash, they lost the oil. They lost the Shemen HaMishcha. So the only thing that made a Kohen Gadol was because he wore 8 garments. So there's technically 2 types of Kohanim. You have a Kohen B'Shemen HaMishcha, Kohen Gadol, and then you have a Kohen that's called Mruba Begadim. What makes him a Kohen Gadol is the fact that he wears 8 garments. So the Braita is saying all the laws that we just said don't only apply to a Kohen Mashuach, a Kohen that was anointed with the oils, but it also applies to a Kohen that is what? Miruba Begadim. Chutz mipar haba al kol ha-mitzvot. Except when it comes to the par haba al kol ha-mitzvot. What's the difference? A Kohen Mashiach that has anointment, he brings the Korban of Pari Alehim, which means if he made a mistake. However, by the Miruba Begadim, he does not bring such a Korban. As well as, V'chulanu Yomashua Shavar, Chutz Upanu Mekun V'asi Taifa. Regarding the personal Korban every day of the Kohen Gadol, that he brings Asri Taifa, we have Gizrat HaKaduf, this does not apply only to a Kohen Mashiach, an anointed one, not a Miruba Begadim. V'chulan, and all that we just said above, Nothing of these laws applied to the Kohen of the army, except for the following five items. No poreya, he's not allowed to let his hair grow. Velo porem, right? He's not allowed to rip his garments in avilut. Velo metame likrobav, he does not metamet his relatives. Umetsuve ala betula, he's commanded to marry a betula. Umuzar ala almana, he cannot marry an almana, a widow. Umazir et arotzeach, and also his death can release the murderers from in Miklad Kedavrida Biyuda, like the Biyuda in Masechet Makot. V'achamim omrim eno marzir. V'achamim say he cannot marzir. Now, bottom line, what do you see from this long braita? First of all, you see that there's two kohanim that wear eight. A kohen gadol, mashuach, that was anointed, as well as a regular kohen that wasn't anointed, but as long as he's a kohen gadol. So you see this rabbi is not worried about eva. This rabbi is not worried about envy or jealousy. Because you have two kohanim over here, that bottom line, are both wearing eight begadim. And that same rabbi still says that when it comes to the kohen mashuach milchama, he does not wear eight begadim. Now obviously, it cannot be an eva issue. Because again, this rabbi is not concerned with eva. How do we know he's not concerned with eva? Because the kohen mashiach, it's kohen that had anointment with oil, and the kohen gadol mirubah begadim, both wear eight garments. So you have two kohanim that wear eight garments, and you see that there's no jealousy amongst them. So you see, eva is not an issue amongst this rabbi, and still he says what? That the kohen mashuach milchama does not wear eight garments. If the kohen mashuach milchama doesn't wear eight garments, what's the reason? It's not an eva issue over here. Now let's read Rashi up until this point. Let's start from the fourth line in Rashi. Velo kamishamish. Velo kamishamish. Kelomah vekamah. This opinion holds. Velo mishamish mashuach milchama b'shmona. That he doesn't wear eight garments. Par kohen mashuach lo garsin. Okay, dehainu par abal kol mitzvot kohen mashiach shechata be'alim davar. He made a mistake. Ve'asa davar she'ayim azodno karet. He did something that he punished him by karet. Mevi par ve'hediot mevi kisma o sa'iran. Hediot brings either a kevis, sheep or a goat. Kishar yachid shemisal, like a regular yisrael of medicine. Ve'asli ta'ifa shebechol yom kohen mashiach brings every day. Ve'asli ta'ifa kedichti ve'akohen mashiach tachta banav yaseh ota. Lo por he doesn't grow his hair in avilut. He rips the hem of his garment. But the hediot is metamet to the seven close relatives. If a positive commitment to marry a betula, and he says a negative commitment that he cannot marry a widow, ומחזיר את הרוצח במיטתו, when the Kohen Gadol dies, ומקריב עונן, דכתיב ומן המקדש לא יצא. Even when there's a death and he's עונן, he does not leave the מקדש, meaning he continues to serve. ואין הוא אוכל, כלומר, אף על פי שהוא חלוק מן העדיות לעניין הקרבה, even though he does serve in the Bet HaMikdash when he's onen, shaveu lo lenyan achila, but they're equal when it comes to achila, both do not eat korbanot onen. Ve'enu cholek, he does not divide the korbanot when he's onen, kishu onen le'echol le'erev, kishu ta'avod ha'aninut, when the night comes and the aninut passes, because the aninut min ha'Torah is only during the day of the death, but at night there's no aninut, so therefore you, the Gemara is telling all of Zavir that he cannot even divvy during the day to eat it, the subsequent night. You have to be ra'uy to eat in order to divvy. But if you're not ra'uy to eat, then already you're not ra'uy even to divide to eat it at a later time. Meaning he gets to the choice parts of the animal, he gets first choice of whatever parts. Umakrif halik baros, meaning to bring on the korban, he gets to sacrifice whatever parts he wants. Upatur al tumat mikdash, he's patur if he enters the mikdash tameh borayot, nafkala mikrav, biperik matra, vichula, hachmat ita mefresh la'atam. Okay, it's all bright as in masechet orayot. Merubah begadim, kohanim gedolim shishimshu miyom shenignas shemen ha-mishcha. From the day that the shemen ha-mishcha was put into the only difference between a regular kohen and a gadol was the eight begadim. Chutz mipar abal kol ha-mitzvot. The Mashiach ketibe. When it comes to the par Mashiach, it says by him he brings a par. Ve'afagav digabe asli taifa nami Mashiach ketiv. that even though it says by the Kohen Mashiach Asirit Ha'efa, and therefore Lechaura a Merubah Begadim should not bring Asirit Ha'efa, it's Rabbeinu Amen Merubah Begadim. But we have a derasha to include Merubah Begadim by Asirit Ha'efa, even though the word Mashiach is used by Asirit Ha'efa. Don't worry, then we have a special Gezerat HaKaduf to include even a Merubah Begadim. Ve'hak Kohen B'Torat Kohenim Aval HaKohen Nechtiv Kameh Par Abal Kol HaMazot Estarik Negufeh. But the extra words that are written by Pari Alem Davan is not coming to include a Merubah Begadim. So bottom line, a Merubah Begadim brings a Asirit Ha'efa every day, but he does not bring a Pari Alem on Kol Mitzvot. V'chulam. Actually, I did not read this in the Braita, so I will go back to the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines when they get down. 5 lines wide. V'chulan no'agot b'mashuach she'avar. All the following laws apply to a Kohen she'avar. What is a Kohen she'avar? You have the Kohen. He became pasul for whatever reason. They put a substitute Kohen in. The original Kohen got better, so now he gets his job back. The second Kohen is called the Kohen she'avar, which means he was a Kohen and then he lost his position, right? So all the laws that we just, he's a Kohen Gadol. All the laws that we just mentioned apply to a Kohen she'avar, except Chutz, Mepar, Yom Kippurim, Va'asrit Ha'efa, etc. Now, from here you see that what? A Kohen she'avar wears 8 Begadim. Now if he wears 8 Begadim, so you have 2 Kohenim now they're wearing 8 Begadim. So you see, this opinion that is not concerned about Eva, because you have 2 Kohen that are living simultaneously, that they're wearing 8 Begadim. So let's continue Rashi. V'chula noheged b'mashuach she'avar, kegon, im ira psul b'kohen gadol, uminu acher tahtav, they put another one instead, ulagal zeman chazar rishon na'avodato, ve'avar zem m'mishichato, kulan noheged bo. All the laws apply to him, chutz mepar yom kipurim v'asit ha'efa, shem chova kibua. Because that's an obligation that's set. V'hada amar rahmana detekara v'lo shtayim. Torah says only one is brought and not 2. So therefore the Pari Alem and the Asirit Ha'efa only apply to the original Kohen that gets his job back and not the substitute. Now, but still you see what? That the Kohen Mashuach Milchama in this Braita, as we continue reading the Braita, does not wear 8 Begadim. So the Gemara is trying to tell us over here, you see that Eva is not the issue. Because this rabbi is not concerned with Eva, and still the Mashuach Milchama does not wear 8 Begadim. So comes the Gemara and said, no, the Gemara said above, that he really minat Torah should wear 8 Begadim. But mid Rabbanan Eva. We don't want him to have envy with the other guys, so we let him wear, he can't wear 8. So the point is, the only reason why we're not letting him wear 8, it seems it's because of Eva. The Gemara says, that's not so. Here's a Tana that's not concerned with Eva, and still does the Kohen Mashiach Melchama does not wear 8. The Gemara answers, Ki let le Eva bidekevate. When do we say there's no Eva? When you have Kohanim that are equal. Which means the regular Kohen and the Kohen She'avar, they were on equal level. So there's no jealousy. However, on a Kohen that's less in stature, there's going to be envy. What is he wearing 8 Begadim for? Which is the Kohen Mashuach Melchama is less in stature than the regular Kohen Gadol. So therefore, while there's no Eva by a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen She'avar, however, there will be envy, Eva, by a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Therefore, even though Minat Torah deserves to wear 8, he doesn't wear 8 because of Eva. So that's basically the Gemara's conclusion, that he should wear 8, but he doesn't only because of the law of envy that will be called. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, B'dibura matchil, right, Eva b'dekevate, Mashuach she'avar gadol haya kemoto. He was a Kohen Gadol like the first one, so they're equal. Aval Mashuach Melchama dezutar mine choshesh le'evato. But the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, that's less than a regular Kohen Gadol, so we are concerned about the envy. Comes the Gemara and continues. Yativ Rabbi Abu. Rabbi Abu was sitting. Ve'ka'amar la lehashimata. He said the following teaching of Rabdimi about the Kohen Mashua Melchama, that he wears 8 garments. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying it in the name of Rabdimi, he said it Mishemed Rabbi Yohanan. Okay, he quoted Rabbi Yohanan. Adirinu Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asil Apayu. So when Rabbi Amir and Rabbi Asil heard it, they turned their face away from him, as if to say, you're wrong. Rabbi Yohanan wasn't the author of the statement. Ika de Amri, there's another version of what happened. Rabbi Hiya bar Abba Amra, Rabbi Hiya bar Abba said the statement, Va'ahdirinu Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asil Apayu. And they turned their face away from him, as if to say, it wasn't Rabbi Yohanan that made the statement. Matkif la Rabbapa, Bishtaba Rabbi Abu. We understand the version that Rabbi Abu was quoting Rabbi Yohanan, Mishum Yekara Debe Kesar. And because he was very influential, Rabbi Abu used to go back and forth to the Caesar, he was very politically connected, that's why the rabbis, they didn't tell him explicitly, you're wrong. Rabbi Yohanan didn't make the statement, they did it in a respectful way, they just turned their face from him. Ela the Rabbi Hayabar Abba, but the Hayabar, according to the version that has the Rabbi Hayabar Abba quoting, Nimru le, they should have told him explicitly, Memar lo amar Rabbi Yohanan acher. They should have told him, Rabbi Yohanan didn't say this. Why would they have to give him extra respect by turning their face? So the Gemara is trying to say the version that has it as Rabbi Abu calling Rabbi Yohanan is more correct. Because it makes sense to the reaction of the rabbis that they were more diplomatic, let's say, by turning their head away instead of telling him, you know, you're wrong. Why would they treat him greater? Because he indeed was a respectful man, because he had the political connections with the Caesar. When Navin came from Eretz Israel, Amar, he said, Nish'al Itmar. The whole subject over here is regarding when the Kohen is being asked. What does that mean? Look at 5 lines from the bottom in Nashi. Ki Ata Ravin Amar, Lav Mishamesh Ben Itmar. Nah, you got it all wrong. When we said the Kohen Mashua Melchama wears 8 garments, it wasn't talking about when he serves in the Beit HaMikdash. Ela nish'al ba'en itmar. Begadim shekohen gadol meshamesh ba'en, mashuach milchama nish'al kishiyotze lemilchama. Venish'al be'olim v'turim she'amalech nish'al lo ba'en. Which means, the Kohen, Mashua Melchama, they would ask him questions. What type of questions? Should we go to war? Are we going to win? And therefore, all the Gemara is saying, when he's asked the questions, he puts on the 8. But really, he doesn't serve. That wasn't a she'ela. Only the Kohen, Mashua, the regular Kohen, he serves with 8 begadim. This guy, Mashua Melchama, if he goes in the Beit HaMikdash, he doesn't wear 8. But we just, you said he wears 8. Yeah, when they ask him a she'ela for the Urim and Tumim, he puts on the garment. So the Gemara says, Nish'al Kamar. It's on the she'ela. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Nish'al Itmar. Tanya Nameacher, we have a bright that supports this Begadim. Shekohen Gadol Meshamesh Ba'en. The clothes that the Kohen Gadol serves in Mashuach Milchama Nish'al Ba'en. Right? The same 8 that the Kohen works in, the Kohen Mashua Melchama is asked in. They ask him the questions when he's wearing the garments. Tanu Rabbanan, Kesad Shu'alim. Okay, now we're going to discuss the procedure of how do you ask the Kohen Gadol a question when he's wearing the Urim V'Tumim. What's the procedure? Hashoel Panav Klapei Nish'al. So the one that's asking faces the Kohen that's being asked. V'Nish'al Panav Klapei Shekhinah. And the Kohen that's being asked, he faces the Shekhinah, meaning his head is down, looking at the Urim V'Tumim. Because in the flaps of the Urim V'Tumim, you have the Shema Meforash. So the Shekhinah really is on his chest. So the question, the one that's asking the question looks at the Kohen. The Kohen himself has his head down, looking at the Urim V'Tumim. As Shoel Omer, the Shoel says, Erdof achare agedud hazeh? That's the question. Should we run after this army? Then Nish'al Omer, Ko Amar Hashem, Alev Aslah. So God says, go rise up and be successful. The Biyuda Omer, Ensli Klamar Ko Amar Hashem. You don't have to say Ko Amar Hashem. Ela Alev Aslah. He's asking Hashem. It's obvious. Therefore, he just has to say Alev Aslah. En Shu'alim Bekol. The one that's asking the question does not ask it aloud. Shne Emar V'Sha'al Lo. The question is asked to the Kohen, where nobody else can hear the question. The question is directed to the Kohen. Ve'lo me'arer b'libo. nor is he meharer, meaning he has to verbalize the question. He can't just stand in front of the Kohen Gadol and think of the question. You have to ask the question in front of Hashem. So therefore, the Gemara says, two lines in the bottom, I'm reading Rashi, Eno meharer bilibo, ela yotzi b'tzfatav. He has to verbalize it. Ma hu shoel, sh'neimar, v'sha'alo b'mishpat ha'orim, usmich le'al piv yitzu. Right after that pasuk of v'sha'alo, well, maybe v'sha'alo means in his brain he asks the question, but the next line says, al piv yitzu. Kari be'achi, read the pasukim like this, v'sha'alo ha'shoel al piv. Which means juxtapose the next pasuk al piv, what we just said before. He will ask the question al piv, with his mouth. Shemotzi devarim bepiv. Now the Gemara says, Ela kederech she'amra Hana betfilata. He asked the question the way Hana asked when she was praying. Shneemar vechana hi medaberet al liba. Right? It says Hana was speaking in her heart. I mean, she was saying it in a low voice, but the pasuk does say Rak sefatea naot. Her lips were moving. So therefore the same thing, you have to verbalize, cut the words with your lips when you ask the Kohen Gadol, but it's in a low voice that only the Kohen Gadol can hear and nobody else. Next law. En shu'alin shnei devarim ke'ahad. You don't ask two questions at the same time. But she says, Ela le'achar sheshivo lo al rishon shu'edo al sheni. You ask one question, you get an answer. Then you ask the second question, you get the answer. You don't ask two questions at the same time. V'im sha'al. And if he did ask two questions, en machazirin ila ehad. They can only answer one of them. Ve'en machazim lo ila lishon. And they only answer the first question. Shnei Emar. David HaMelech asked a question once to the Kohen Gadol. Hayizgiruni ma'ale ki'ila biyado hayired sha'ud. David HaMelech was concerned. First of all, he was concerned that Shaul HaMelech, who was pursuing him, was going to go down to where David was. And secondly, he was concerned, are the people of the city of Ki'ilah going to hand over David to Shaul? So he has two questions. His first question was, are they going to hand me over to Shaul? And number two, he asked, is Shaul coming down to this area? Vayomer Hashem Yered. So you see, God only answered one question. He asked two questions, and God only answered one, and he said he's coming down. Hold it, the Gemara says, right. You just told me that they answered the first question, and here they won't even answer the second question. The Gemara says, David sha'al shelo keseder, ve'aziro lo keseder. Which is, really, David asked the questions out of order. The first question you have to say is Shaul going down. And if he is going down, are they going to hand me over to him? So since he asked out of order, they answered him in order. Meaning to your first question that you should have asked, Yered, he's going down. Well, v'chivan she'yadal she'sha'al she'lo keseder. Once David, from the answer, he realized that he asked out of order, hazar v'sha'al keseder. He then asked the second question, shne'emar, hayezgiru ba'ale ke'ila oti v'et anshay anashay biyad sha'ul. V'yomer Hashem. And what did Hashem answer? Yezgiru. So therefore, when David heard the answer, he said, oh, they put my second question first, so therefore he asked the second question again, and he said, are they going to hand me over? They're going to hand me over? And they said, yes. Comes again and says, V'imutzrak ha'davar lishnayim. But let's say it's a pressing situation where time is of the essence, and the one that's asking has to ask two questions simultaneously because there's no time to have the back and forth. Mahazirim lo shnayim. Sorry. Mahazirim lo shnayim, which means what? They answer them. Two questions. Shnei Emar, Vayishal David Ba'ashem Nemor. David asked the Urim V'tumim, Ha'irdof Acharei HaGedud Hazeh, should I chase this army? Ha'asigenu, and will I reach them? So number one, two questions. Shall I chase them, and will I be successful? Will I reach them? Vayomer lo redof. That's the first answer. Ki hasek tasig ve'asel tasil. So you see over here, David was in a situation over here where time is of the essence. his men were being attacked by the Amalekim, and now he needed to know right away, should he go after the Amalekim and is he going to win? So he asked two questions at the same time. Since it was pressing, they answered him immediately. That she just tells us in the top line, v'imutzrach l'shnehen kegon shaya davad nahutz. That's right, pressure. That was the story of David in the city of Siklag. Comes the Gemara and continues. Another rule. Even though the words of a prophet can be changed, for example, like in the story of Yonah, where we read that God said in the name of Yonah to Yonah that in 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That was a prophecy from the prophet. They made teshuvah, and what happened? The gezerah changed. Gezerat urim v'tumim ena hozeret. However, once the urim v'tumim make their ruling, it's binding, doesn't change. Shnei emar b'mishpat ha'urim. It calls the law of the urim a mishpat. It's a law, doesn't change. Lama nekra sheman urim v'tumim. Why do they call these stones urim v'tumim? Urim shemeirim et devrehem. Meirim devrehem is not only that they light up, but as she says, mefarshim et devrehem. Their words are clear, which means it gives you a clear answer. Tumim shemashlimim et devrehem. Tumim comes from the lashon tam. That she says kedamran, which means it's conclusive. It's time. It's over. Once the Urim V'Tumim give the answer, there's no retraction. Ah, v'im tomar b'givad binyamin. In the story of the Navi, p'negesh b'givad, when the Jewish people wanted to go fight against Shevet binyamin, so they went to the Urim V'Tumim and they asked them questions, and seemingly the Urim V'Tumim's answer was not correct. Well, the Gemara says, "V'im tomar b'givat binyamin mipnei ma lo eshlimu," which is their words were not conclusive. Why? Comes the Gemara and explains, "Hem shelo bihanu im lenatzeach im lehenatzeach." Originally, they just asked the Urim v'Tumim, "Should we go to war?" So the Urim v'Tumim told them, "Go." But they didn't ask the second question, which is the more important question: are you going to win or not? So they went out to the war the first time, they lost. They went out to war the second time after Urim V'Tumim told them, go, and they lost. So the Gemara's coming along to say over here, so you see, the Urim V'Tumim over here, they told them to go out to war, but what? Obviously something changed. Because they went out to war, and they lost. So the Gemara says, no, it's because they didn't ask the right way. They didn't ask if they're going to be victorious or not. In the end, when they asked the right question, they asked basically, are we going to be successful? Then they asked, should we continue to go against our brothers Binyamin to fight, or should we stop? There they were asking the question, are we going to be victorious or not? Vayomer Hashem alu, ki machar etenenu biyadecha. Go, because tomorrow you will be successful. That's good just to get the pesukim, what happened in that story of Pidegesh B'Givah. There were three occasions which they went and asked the Urim V'Tumim. The first pasuk says, "Vayakumu v'yagalu bet el, v'yishalu b'Elohim v'yomiru b'nei Yisrael, mi yagale lanu b'tachila l'milchama imenei Binyamin." Who should go fight first? Which tribe should lead the war? "Vayomer Hashem Yehuda b'tachila." So the Urim V'Tumim answered, "Yehuda." What happened? They went out to war with Yehuda. They lost. Next pasuk, "Vayagalu b'nei Yisrael v'yibku nefne Hashem ad ha'erev v'yishalu b'Hashem nemor ha'osif lageshet l'milchama im b'nei Binyamin achi." Should we continue the assault against Binyamin? "Vayomer Hashem halu elav." They said, "Yeah, continue." And the next pasuk says, "Vayishalu b'nei Yisrael b'Hashem v'sham aron b'rit ha'adim b'yim ha'em u'pinehas bin Azar was there." Omer lefanav imahem nemor ha'osif od lasit melchama im b'nei Binyamin achi im erdal. Or should we stop? Only the third time they ask correctly. Should we continue or should we stop?
Then Vayomer Hashem Alu ki magar etenenu biyadecha, which means on the first ones they didn't ask correctly, but on the last occasion they asked if they're going to be victorious. Then already they got their right answer. Let's just review the story of the Urim Veturim over by the Pilesh Begivah. So over here, there was a story with the Pinebish Begiv'ah. There was a Pinebish of a certain man who was staying in the town of Giv'ah. And he was roughed up, and they took his Pinebish, and she died from an ordeal that night. Incest at this unprecedented crime. The other tribes assembled and demanded of Binyamin that it submit the perpetrator to them to be executed. And Binyamin did not comply. The tribes, after consulting the Urim Veturim, went to war against Binyamin, only to suffer terrible casualties. Again they asked the Urim Veturim, and again they went to battle the following day, but once again they were even more repulsed with heavy loss of life. Only after consulting the Urim Veturim a third time were they victorious. So now the Gemara is saying, what are you talking about? I thought the Urim Veturim's words, they're conclusive, they never go unfulfilled. But that's what I'm saying. They didn't ask the right questions. When they finally asked, are we going to win? They told them, you're going to win. The first time they just said, Yehuda Ya'aleh. The second one, should we go to war? Yeah, you should go to war. But the point is, once the question was asked, should we stop? Then they would even say, no, don't stop. Continue and be successful. Comes the Gemara and says, Kesad Nasit. Okay, how does the Urim V'Tumim work? Once she asks the question, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Boltot. The letters actually protrude, and they don't move out of its socket, according to some opinions, but it just looks to the Kohen Gadol like certain letters are protruding out. Rish Lakish Amar Mitztarfot. Rish Lakish says that the letters actually don't only protrude, but they actually form the word. It's a machloket over here, how to learn this machloket. Some say they're saying two different things. The first one is boltot, and then the queen has to figure out the letters, what they mean. Whereas according to Rish Lakish, he says no. Actually, it's mistarfot. The letters actually form a word. Another way of learning is, no, each rabbi is looking at a different phase of the process. The first process is what? Boltot. The letters are bolet. They have an image as if they're protruding. And then they combine together to form a word. The Gemara says, wait, what are you talking about? There's no tzaddi in the Urim V'Tumim. If you look at all the names of the tribes, there's no tzaddi. And we just said one of the answers they told them was the word Hatzel, which means you will be saved. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Shmuel bar Yitzhak, Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov Ketiv Sham, which means you have the names of the Avot that are there. So that is the letter tzaddi. According to the Gaon Mevilna, you also have the letter Kof, that is not in the names of the Shevatim. By Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you gain that as well. Even by adding Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you still don't have the letter Tet. It says also the word Shivte Yeshurun. So therefore you have the Tet. Metibe kol kohen she'ero medaber beruach hakodesh u'shchina shoreh alav. Any kohen gadol that does not have Ruach HaKodesh and the Shekhinah is not resting on him, in Shualimbo. You don't ask him. You got to ask only Kohen Gadol that has Ruach HaKodesh. How do we know? Shareh Sha'al Tzadok Ve'al Talo. When David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, he needed to know about his position. So he asked Tzadok the Kohen, and Tzadok gave him an answer. Ve'viatar Ve'lo Al Talo. But when he asked Eviatar, Eviatar did not get the answer. Could not answer. Shnei Emar, Vayal Eviatar Ad Tom Kol Ha'am. Which means after Eviatar was asked the question, he couldn't answer it. They took away the kiuna from Eviatar and they gave it to Tzadok. Now the Chaura, the question of the Gemara is, what do you mean? What do you need him to have Ruach HaKodesh for? Seemingly, if you tell me that the letters are bullet, the letters come out, it seems that the Torah themselves are giving the answer. So therefore, you tell me, if he doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, what is he Ruach HaKodesh for? The Urim V'Tumim are seemingly giving the answer. So comes the Gemara and says, Siyu'e Ava Misayeya Badayu. Rashi, סיועי אהבה מסי הכהן בעדי עולים וטועים. אל כך, אם כהן כאשר היה וראוי לשלוט שכינה עליו, האותיות בולטות או מצטרפות על ידו כשנשארים בו, ואם לאו לא בולטות מצטרפות. Which means you got a רוח הקודש first. If he has רוח הקודש, then the עולים וטועים works, then האותיות הבולטות מצטרפות. But if you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, finished, it's not going to work. So therefore you need the Kohen's powers, so to speak, to activate the powers of the guy, of the Choshen. Look at Rashi, Shne'emar, just one before that, actually, Sha'areh Sha'al Tzadok, כשהיה דוד בורח מפני אבשלום, ודוד was running away from אבשלום, שנאמר, ויחל אביתר עתום כל העם לעמוד, ותעניה בסדר עולם, ושאל בעולים ותומים, ולא עלתה לו, ונסתלק מן הכהונה. אביתר, they left, they threw him out of the כהונה, שנאמר, ויחל אביתר, מדקטני דבעי כהן, המדמי רוח הקודש. ראשית, explaining the question, the fact that you see that the כהן, has to רוח הקודש, אלמה לא בוטו ולא מסתלפות היו, תמכן למה לי רוח הקודש, which means if you tell me you need רוח הקודש, so what do I need the letters being bolet? He has Ruach HaKodesh, he'll know it on his own. No. Even though he has Ruach HaKodesh, it helps him. She said, it helps him get the answer by being bolet. He would get the answer on his own. The Choshen is just an aid to make it easier for him. But without Ruach HaKodesh, it doesn't work at all. Last point in the Gemara. The only ones that can ask for the Urim and Tumim are public figures that Klai Yisrael are relying on. For example, the king. Mina hane mile. How do we know that? Amar Rabbi Abu de Amar Kera. Velifne el Hazar Kohen Yamod Vesha Alo Bemishpat Aurim. So now the Gemara is Doresh on these words. Now actually the whole Pasuk reads Vesha Alo Shaturim Lifne Hashem Al Piv Yetzu. Right, according to its words, you will go out. Who? So the Gemara is going to address these words. Who? Each one of these terminologies represents a different category. So the Gemara says, who? Zeh melech. V'chol b'nei Yisrael ito, zeh mashuach melchama. V'chol ha'ida, zu sanedrin. Which means, who are the three that get to ask? So who is the king? The king of Israel. How do we know? Because the pasuk right before that was talking about Yeshua ben Nun, and Yeshua ben Nun had the status of a king because he was the successor of Moshe. Pasuk says who? Who is he talking about? Yeshua. The next line was what? Vechol b'nei Yisrael. That's referring to the Mashuach Milchama, which we learn of as sometimes the Mashuach Milchama was asked, and sometimes he asked himself, which means he would turn to the Urim and Tumim and ask the Urim and Tumim himself if they should go to war. And last but not least, V'chol Aida, that's referring to the Sanhedrin, which means they needed to know if they go out to war or not. Rashi, V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito, Mi Shekol B'nei Yisrael Ito. Now, who is with B'nei Yisrael? Latzit L'Milchama Harav. Who's at the Kohen Mashiach Milchama? Which is when the Pasuk says, V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito. Which person has all the Jewish people with him? That's the Kohen that takes the Jewish people out to war. That's how they know from those words, it's Kohen Mashuach Milchama. Obviously when it says Eda, Eda is the reference of the Sanhedrin. Hadran Alak Ba'lo Kohen Gadol. And now we begin the 8th perek. The Mishnah says, Yom Kippurim, on the day of Kippur, Asur Ba'achilat, forbidden to eat, Umeshtiya, forbidden to drink, Umirchitza, that's forbidden to bathe, Upsichat, anoint oneself, Ubinirat Asadal, wearing leather shoes, Ubetashmish Tamita, and marital relations. Ve'amelech, a king, Ve'akala, a bride, within 30 days of a marriage, Yirchatsu et Benem, they may wash their face, because it is their way to remain beautiful, like the Pasuk says, Melech Beyofyo, Tehezena Enecha, as well as a kala, within the first 30 days, she has to look beautiful for her new husband. Ve'achaya, a lady that just gave birth, Tin'ol et Asandal, she can wear leather shoes. That's a lady that gave birth. She, a haya is a lady that just gave birth. She's allowed to wear leather shoes because her feet on the bare floor will cause her to get sick. Rashi, a haya yoledet in order to sandal shasina kashela devede bilizer. Now, Rashi says akulu kae mele kala v'haya. These three laws, the exceptions, the king, the bride, and the Hayat Abili Ezer, says all of them can wear leather shoes. Bachamim osrim. Now it's a machloket. We'll see in the Gemara. What are they osir? Are they osir only on the haya? Or they osir on all the three items that we just mentioned? Ha'ochel kakotevet agasa. A person that eats kotevet agasa, the size of a fat date. Kamoa v'kigamainita. Its size plus its pit. You're not eating the pit, meaning factor in the size of the day plus its pit. That's the shi'ud that one is going to be hayav karet on Kippur. And if somebody drinks cheekfuls of liquid, hayav. That's the shi'ud. All foods, you can mistarif, you can join them to get to the shi'ud of a date. Which means you ate a little of this food, a little of that food, and combining it's a kotevet yachayav. Echol ha-meshkim mitztarfim lemno dugmav. And all liquids are mitztaref to get to the shiur of cheekfuls. Ha-ochel v'shoteh em mitztarfim. However, food and drink are not mitztaref. Which means that you have a half a kotevet of food and one cheekful of liquid, you don't mitztaref to get to the shiur. Now, normally the shiur of achila is kezayit. However, on Kippur, the Torah doesn't say don't eat. It says ve'initem. It has to be inui. So therefore, inui means it has to be affliction. So therefore, the shi'ur is a little bigger. Which means, even if you eat a kezayit, it would still be considered technically inui. It's still affliction. So therefore, it has to be a little bigger shi'ur. Comes the Gemara and says, asur, the Mishnah says, anybody that eats a kotevet gasa, or eats on Kippur for that matter, asur. So Gemara says, asur sounds like it's like just a let's say, even you want to say it's a sumna Torah, but it doesn't sound like it's karet. So the Gemara asks, asur? Anosh karetu. What are you talking about? It's punishable by karet, these things. Amara bi ila, betima rabi yirmiya, lorutz ka'ela lachatzi shi'ur. The hadush of the Mishnah is to come and tell you, if you ate full shi'ur, vada it's karet. The hadush is even less than a shi'ur, which we call chatzi shi'ur. Chatzi shi'ur does not necessarily mean half shi'ur. It means anything less than the shi'ur, it's called chatzi shi'ur. Still, it's going to be asur. As she says, la chatzi shi'ur kegon, pachot mekakotevet gasa. She shi'ur yom kipurim kedam matim vechi lo shalim shi'urah karet neka. Isura ika. There might not be karet, but there's going to be an isur. Ha nicha lemandamar chatzi shi'ur asur na Torah. Yeah, that's going according to the opinion that says if you eat less than the shi'ur, it's still asur. I mean, there's an opinion that says less than the shi'ur is asur from the Torah, you just don't get the punishment. Right, so that Mishnah makes sense. When it says, asur ba'akhila, it's chasi shi'ur and it's asur. But according to the opinion that says chasi shi'ur is permissible from the Torah, why is the Mishnah saying asur? The itma, now we're going to quote the machloket. Chasi shi'ur, Rabbi Yochanan amar, asur min ha-Torah. Because Rabbi Yochanan learns that not only is full shi'ur asur min ha-Torah, but even chasi shi'ur. What's the logic? Because the pasuk, when it talks about chilev, it says, kol chilev lo tochelu. Kol chilev. Not only a kezayit of chilev, but any shi'ur of chilev is asur, even chasi. The only difference is, a full shi'ur of chayalev is punishable. Less than the shi'ur of sumna Torah, but not punishable. The Shlakish Amar mutam na Torah. Shlakish says, chatzi shi'ur mutam na Torah. So Gemara says, Hani Chad Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan that says, chatzi shi'ur sumna Torah, we understand the Mishnah, why it says asur. Ela Shlakish, Maika Lememar. Gemara says, Moder Shlakish, She'asur Midrabbanan. Which means, even the B in Shlakish holds, Asi Shi'ur is Asur Midrabbanan. Therefore, according to him, when the Mishnah says, Jome Kippurim Asur Ba'akhila, it means Asur Midrabbanan. So, because that we have a fantastic machloket, I learned this Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Jome Kippurim Asur Ba'akhila Midoraita. Because of chatzi shi'ur, but there's no karet, because it's chatzi shi'ur, it's less than the shi'ur. According to the Shlakish, Yom HaKippurim Asur Midrabbanan Ba'achilat chatzi shi'ur, because from the Torah chatzi shi'ur is okay. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.